Today's daf is Nida daf Dalid. We are holding on daf Gimel Amud Beis. We got up to where the parentheses are. Shulayim Bedukin Mechusin Bezavis Simin. So the Gemara is going to ask a Stira, and it's going to ask a Kasha, and then we're going to have four Terutzim. That's what the Simin is for. The Simin is for the four different Terutzim that we're going to have to the one question that the Gemara is going to ask. The fourth answer that we're going to give is going to lead us into an entirely different conversation about Mechaskin and Tumal Mimakom Makom, which is stam an interesting study. So let's see now from the parentheses. Itmar kupish and shtam shubataros bezavazu v'nim tsharis bezavasacheres. If you have a box that you had taharos that was holding taharos in one corner of the box, and then you find a sheretz in the other corner of the box, so chizkiya mataros rishonos taharos. Chizkiya says the taharos that used to be in that box are taharos. You don't assume that the sheretz was there the same time as the taharos and touch the taharos. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Taros Rishonos Tameos. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the Taros that were there originally have to be assumed to be Tameh. You have to assume that the Sheret was Metameh, the Taros that were in that box. So, Frekta Gemara, but wait a second. Vashamei v'Hillel modu b'kupa de Taros Rishonos Tameos. But I thought Shamei and Hillel are both moda by a box, that the original Taros that were in that box are Tameos. So how can you tell me that it's a machlokas between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan, where only Rabbi Yochanan says that they are Tameos, if both Shammai and Hillel are Moda, that we assume Tuma l'mafreya, that we assume Tuma when it comes to a box, we're going to assume that the Tuma that it was Metame, even l'mafreya, even though the Taros have since been removed from the box, we assume that they were Tame when they were in the box. So that is the Kasha, and there are going to be four Terutzim to this Kasha. So Terutz number one. Ki modu Shammai v'Hillel, when are Shammai and Hillel both in agreement that the Taros or Rishonos are Tameos? That's Bekupa Sheyesh Lo Shulayim. That's by a regular box that has a bottom to it. Ki pligi Chizkiya v'Rabbi Yochanan Bekupa Sheyin Lo Shulayim. When is there room for Machlokas? When do Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan disagree? Where Chizkiya is going to say that their Taharos, that the Taros or Rishonos are in fact Taharos, that's by a Kupa that doesn't have a bottom to it. So wait a second, if it doesn't have a bottom to it, how do you use it? You have to imagine a box that doesn't have a bottom, so you pick it up, everything's on the floor. So how do you use the box? So Rashi explains that Ein Lo Shulayim means that Kagon Chavishalet Shenitlu Shulayim V'yachol Ishtamish Ba'orech Chalalan K'shein Mutalos Bekarka U'kshumaros Anu Magbiya Rosh HaEchon U'ma'arav HaKol Yotzim Mena. Where the way you would use it is sideways. You'd put it on its side. So if let's say you had a barrel that didn't have a top or a bottom, so you can still just lie the barrel down on its side and you put things inside of it and it would still protect it from the rain. It wouldn't protect it, let's say, from the wind so much. A little bit of wood, not so much, but it would protect it from the elements somewhat. So that's what the Kupa Shein L'Shulayin. So again, Shammai and Hillel and Moda, that the Taros or Rishonos are going to be Tameos, that's by a Kupa that has a bottom, because when you're removing the contents of that Kupa, you'll just reach in and take out whatever was in there. But you're not necessarily going to completely empty it. And therefore, since you were only taking out the food that was in there, you don't know whether there was a Sheretz in there, and there may very well have been a Sheretz in there. There's no reason to assume there wasn't a Sheretz in there if you later found the Sheretz in there. But when you have a Kupa Shein Lo Shulayim, a Kupa that doesn't have a bottom, so the normal way to empty out such a Kupa is by tilting it, by picking it up, and therefore all the contents slide right out. So if there was a Sheretz in there, then it would have slid out at the same time that you took out the rest of the Taros. If you find the Sheretz in there now, that Sheretz must have come in later. So it's much more mistaver to assume that the Taros that you removed from a Kupa Shein Lo Shulayim, from a Kupa that doesn't have a bottom, it's much more logical to assume that sheretz arrived later and that the taharos are taharos. So says Umar, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. In fact, it makes too much sense because it's machlokas Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan whether taharos are taharos. So if the whole case of Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan is when it's ein l'shulayim, what do you mean machlokas? Everyone should agree. The way we remove the contents of such a barrel is by lifting it up and everything slides right out. So it's obvious that there was no sheretz in there at the time that you removed the taharos. Ein l'shulayim might time it to Rabbi Yochanan. What would be the svara for Rabbi Yochanan being metame in that case? So it says Gemara in l'shulayim v'yesh l'agnayim. It doesn't have a bottom, but it does have a rim around it. So even though you slid out the taros that were inside of there, there may have been a sheretz in there, and it may have gotten caught on the rim, and that's why it didn't come out. So it's not necessarily a clear raya that there was no sheretz in there. There may very well have been a sheretz in there, but the sheretz got stuck along the rim of the kli. That's the svara for Rabbi Yochanan. So says the Gemara, wait a second, Vatanya. V'hatanya hamadla asara d'liyim mayim b'zeh achazeh v'nimtza sheretz b'achmein. Let's say you fill up 10 pitchers of water, 10 pails of water, one right after the other, and you find a sheretz in one of them. So do you assume that the sheretz was there the whole time, and all the pails of water that you have filled up to this point are tall? Let's say in the sixth time you find or the tenth time you find the sheretz in the pails. So now you have to assume that all the pails of water that you filled up are all tameh or not. So who tameh? That no, you only assume the last pail that you filled up was tameh. All of the previous pails you assume was tar, that the sheretz was not there. That's only if there's no rim on the kli. But if there is a rim on the kli, then all of the pails are going to be assumed to be tameh, because we assume the sheretz was there the entire time, and when you kept on emptying out the water, the sheretz kept on getting stuck on the rim of the kli, but the sheretz was really there the entire time. So lema chiskia lesa drabi yanai. So chiskia now, if the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and chiskia is in a case where it's yesh lo gnayim, where it has a rim, and Rabbi Yochanan is the one that holds that the sheretz gets caught on the rim, but chiskia says the sheretz is not going to get caught on the rim, it will probably come out also. So chiskia seems to be against Rabbi Yanai, because Rabbi Yanai clearly assumes over here that the sheretz does get caught on the rim. So answers the Gemara, maya sharki piri lo sharki, inami maya lo kapitalayu piri kapitalayu. Big difference between water and fruits. This case of the second case that we just quoted, Madla Asar Dalim, is by water. The Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Chizkiya is by fruits. When it comes to water, water pours more easily, and therefore you don't really need to flip the whole kli upside down to get out all the water. You just tilt it, and the water pours right out. When you tilt the kli that has a rim, it's very likely that something is going to get stuck along that rim. When you empty out a kli that has fruits, so you don't just tilt it, you turn the whole thing upside down and you shake it. So that's unlikely that a sheretz is going to get caught on the rim. That explains Chizkiya's shita. Chizkiya is in agreement with Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai holds in a case of water where you find a sheretz in the dili on the 10th time, so you assume that sheretz was there the entire time. Why? Because the way you empty out water is by merely tilting the jug. So since you were only tilting it, it's likely that the sheretz got caught along the rim. But Chizkia was talking about a case. His case was where you had a kupa full of peros. So to empty out the peros, you turn the kupa upside down and you shake it out. So in that case, it's unlikely, Chizkia says, that a sheretz was there the entire time and just kept on getting caught on the rim, even though you turned the whole thing upside down. That's one answer. Second answer of the difference between Chizkia's case and Rabbi Yochanan's case is that by mayim, you're not so makbid to empty out every last bit of water that you have in the kli. And therefore, just like there's some water that remains behind, it's likely the sheretz remains behind. But when it comes to the peros, you're much more makbid about the peros, and you try to empty out every last pri. So since you're trying to be makbid to empty all of the contents of the box or the barrel out, so mele, if there were a sheretz in there, the sheretz would have come out as well. And that's why we have a right to assume that there was no sheretz in there, and that did not keep on getting stuck on the rim of the kli. Now Rashi explains that this case of the delayim of the filling up the pitchers of water is 10 times bidli echad umar bikli gadol. Meaning you take a pitcher of water, you fill it up, and you're pouring it into a barrel. So one pitcher, fill empty into the barrel. Take that same pitcher, refill empty into the barrel, and you keep doing that 10 different times. The Mi'iri and the Ritva say that you're ma'arim idli echad la'asara d'loyim, and that's how the Rambam says also, that you pour from one pitcher, not into one big barrel, but into 10 different d'loyim, into 10 different pitchers that you're pouring into. That's what Rambam says in the 17th parak of Avos HaTumah. So Kesef Mishnah just says he doesn't understand why you would say that, meaning what does that get you? Why Why does that? In what way does that benefit you to say that you're emptying it into 10 different pitchers? Just say you're putting it into one barrel. Rashi's case works. So the Aruch Haner says, yeah. What forced Rambam to say that is the lashon on the Mishnah. It says hamimali asara d'layim, and it doesn't say hamimali bidli asara pa'amim. There are no 10 d'layim according to Rashi. There's one pitcher. You're pouring it into one barrel. So the Rambam has to just come up with a case where there are 10 d'layim. But maybe it doesn't really make a difference in terms of the halacha. It's just that the Rambam is describing the case the way the Mishnah seems to describe the case. The Rambam paskins this din in Vosatama Perak Yud Zayin Halacha Aleph, but the Rambam gives a little bit of a different reason. This din of the Delayim, the Rambam says that the reason that all of them are Tahorim is because, or by the case of the Cooper rather, the reason that that everything is Tahar is because Ein Bo Dasli Sha'el. So the Ravid says, what do you mean? This is Tuma Ba Bidei Adam. This is Yesh Bo Dasli Sha'el. There's a person causing the Tuma. So Kesef Mishra says, well, we don't know that since we don't know where the tumah comes from, so it's not considered babi de adam. But the Ravid says more fundamentally. He says, wait a second. The reason for the halacha is kala tumos kushasu kumakom mitziyasan. We're going to see in the Gemara very soon, and we're not machzik tumah mimakom lumakom mikli lekli. We're definitely not machzik tumah. So why does the Rambam have his own different explanation, his own different reason? And furthermore, Kesef Mishra says according to the Rambam, Kalim are in Bem Dasli Shael. So how can we be mechalik whether it has a gnayim or not, whether it has a rim or doesn't have a rim? Either way, it's Ein Bo Dasli Shael. We'll see the concept of Ein Bo Dasli Shael comes up on the top of Dalet Amud Beis. So let's actually wait till we get to there. Now we gave two answers to the difference between Mayim and Peros. One is that Mayim spills out more easily and therefore you'll tilt it. And the other is that Mayim, you're not as makbir on and getting all the contents out, and therefore you're not going to empty it fully. So Chassam Sofer just points out nafkamina would be, what about yayin v'shemen? Yayin v'shemen is a liquid, so it pours out very easily. But on the other hand, you are makbid about it, because it's much more expensive than mayim, so you will be makbid. There are halachos when you're selling yayin v'shemen, and you're filling up, you're selling something, and you're filling up kalim, let's say, a 1 pound size container of shemen, and you're pouring it into the buyer's container, of how long you have to let it drip to make sure that all the shemen comes out, because people are very makbid about even small amounts of shemen. So that would be a good nafkamina between these two cases. Okay, so that was all answer number one. Again, the kasha was, how could it be by a kupa that you found a sheretz in one corner of after you've emptied out tahor items from that kupa? You then found a sheretz in one corner of it. So it's machlokes Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan whether we assume those titles are tameh. Yet when it comes to that same case of a kupa, Shammai and Hillel apparently are both moda that the taros are tameh. So answer number one was that Shammai and Hillel are both moda by a kupa that doesn't have a bottom to it. But if the kupa has a bottom, then there's room for machlokas. Answer number two, now two lines from the bottom of Daf Gimel and Beis, V'ibay Yisei Mekimo du Shammai v'Hillel v'kupa Sheina Beduka. Shammai and Hillel are in agreement that the taros are going to be tameh by a kupa Sheina Beduka, by a kupa that wasn't pre-checked at the time that you put the taros into it, you didn't check it, so it never had a cheskas tara, and therefore you're going to assume tamei. Ki pligi chizkin Rabbi Yochanan b'kupa beduka. Chizkin and Rabbi Yochanan are in disagreement in a case where it's a kupa beduka. When you first put the taros in, you checked and you made sure there was nothing in it, so you knew that there was no sheretz in it at the time, and therefore it was firmly established as having a cheskas tahara. So mar savar habatka. So who was it that said tahoros? When Chizkia said tahoros, he says it's tahoros because you checked it, and therefore it is, it has a cheskas tahara. Umar savar and Rabbi Yochanan would say, Emor misiluk yadonafal. Maybe the second you finish checking it, the second you put the taros in, right then a sheretz fell in. How do you have the right to assume that the sheretz only fell in after you removed your taros? So says Gemara, Vadum yadi isha katani, vi isha beduka hi. But wait a second, we compare this case to the isha. How do we get to this? We got to this because we're discussing this Maseches Nida, right? We're discussing the chazakos of a woman and what you have the right to assume when she finds dam. Do you assume l'mafreya the tuma? Do you not assume the tuma l'mafreya? So we brought up the case of the kupa in the context of an isha. So but by an isha has a din of beduka. An isha has eches kastara. So how can you compare the two? Meaning Shammai and Hillel, who both say that it's tamei, and now we're saying, yeah, that's talking about a kupa she'ena beduka. That's where everyone agrees it's tamei. Well, by an isha, she's a kupa beduka, so it should be a woman does have a cheskas tara, so it should be more like Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. So how can we apply Shammai and Hillel to the case of an isha? So it says, "Mar kiven the shrichi badam k'sheina beduka damia." A woman does not have a din of a beduka because it's the cheskas tara is a chazaka asuya l'shtanos, since it's common and normal for a regular healthy woman to get her period, therefore it is considered to be chazaka asuya l'shtanos. So granted, she was becheskas that she was tahara, but we know that it could change at any moment, and the fact that it could change at any moment makes it that it's that the chazaka is a very, very weak chazaka. Okay, that was answer number two, that the difference between Shammai and Hillel on the one hand versus Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan on the other hand was whether we're dealing with a kupa she'ena beduka or a kupa beduka. Answer number three, ki modu Shammai v'Hillel, when are Shammai and Hillel both moda that the taros in that box are going to be tamei b'kupa she'ena mechusa? That's what the box that doesn't have a covering. Ki pligi Chizkiah v'Rabbi Yochanan, so therefore the sheretz could easily fall in. There's nothing blocking the sheretz from falling in. Ki pligi Chizkiah v'Rabbi Yochanan, when do Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan have machlokas whether we assume the sheretz was there or not? B'kupa mechusa. That's by a kupa that's mechusa. That's by a kupa that's covered. Shammai and Hillel about an uncovered. And Rashi says over here, wait a second, but was it baduk or was it not baduk? So says Rashi, vibay sema hava haba beduka. Now everyone agrees that you checked it first. El de Shammai v'Hillel kasheinu mechusa upia milamala hilchach ikal lememar im siluk yadav naflu v'chizkiah b'mechusa mishum hachim itaher. Shammai and Hillel say that we assume that the sheretz could have still fallen in because there was no cover on the box after you checked it. But Chizkiah, when he says tahar, assumes that there was a cover on the box, and that's why the sheretz could not have fallen in. So says Gemara, wait a second, you checked the box, and then you covered it, you sealed it, and now you open up that seal, whatever, 10 days later, 2 days later, whenever it was, you find the sheretz in there. How did that happen? Meaning you checked the box and you sealed it after you checked it. So mechusa, hechi nafal. If it was mechusa, how did any sheretz ever fall in there? How does the metzius of the case even work? Kigon shetashmisha al yedei kisui. No, the case is where it's normally used with a kisui. Says Rashi, shetashmisha al yedei kisui kshurotza v'hachnas l'tocha l'hotzi mitocha megalu u'mechasa osa. Hilka chizkiya savar kolzman shetaharos b'tocha nizar b'avachisa v'hashalach shenitlu menu yisiyach daito mishmi rasa v'lo nizar l'chasa osa. And the case must be that it's a kind of kli that when there are contents inside of it, when there's something inside of it, you're careful to cover up the kli. When it's empty, you're not so careful to cover up the kli. So what must have happened was, while the taros were in there, you were very careful and you covered it up, and that's why no sheretz was in there while the taros was in there. After you removed the taros, you must have been a little less careful about covering it. And that's when the sheretz must have fallen in, when you were getting a little more negligent about covering the kli, because there was nothing inside of it to protect. That's why Chizkiah says you have the right to assume that it's taros. Says Gemara v'adumi v'isha katani v'isha mechusahi. But wait a second again. Shammai and Hillel were supposed to be comparable to a case of an isha, and an isha is mechusa. An isha is covered up. What does it mean? An isha is covered up. Says Rashi, d'lo nafil badam me'alma. There's no way blood came into her from somewhere else. Just of a kupa the kavasa b'mechusa askinan. Just like by a kupa, there's no way if a kupa is covered, there's no way a sheretz falls in from somewhere else. Yet by the woman, even though she's mechusa, there's no way dam comes into her from somewhere else. Still, we're going to assume she's tamea. So how can you say that Shammai and Hillel are moda tamei only by a kupa that's ena mechusa, that's not covered up? If the comparable case by Anisha is an isha that is mechusa. Says Tosfos, Rashi is it's mamish, not understandable at all. That what? That no dam came to her from somewhere else, therefore, and yet she's still tameh? Adrabah, if the dam came from somewhere else, she wouldn't be tameh. If the dam comes from inside of her, she is tameh. Right? When dam comes from somewhere else, that's what we call a tliya. That's what we call if she went to the butcher shop and the dam is there from somewhere else. So that's what makes her tahora. That's what we would assume she'd be tahora. If the blood came from inside of her, that's what would make her tameh. Says Tosos, Pirush Rashi, Dlo nafal bo dam alma, the kasha, the kolshkein she tameh, dein litos b'dam acher elabamigufa. Obviously, if it didn't come from somewhere else, then adrabah, that's more of a reason over here to say that she's tameh. Because you have nothing else to be told of the dam, and the dam must have come straight from her body. Now the point is that mechusa means that when a woman bleeds, when a woman becomes a nida, we assume that she has what's called a hargasha. And let's assume, Tosfos assumes hargasha means she feels the opening of the uterus. So since she didn't have a hargasha, we assume her uterus remained closed. We assume that she didn't have any such feeling, and therefore whatever blood she's finding must not have been from the uterus at all, must not be damnida that's going to be metame here. That's what we mean that an isha is mechusa. So answers the Gemara, kiven d'shchichi b'dam k'shein mechusa damya. Now, since it's so common for a woman to bleed, it's ki'ilu she's not mechusa, meaning it's very, the uterus opens all the time and allows blood to come out, so therefore it's ki'ilu, we view it as if she's not mechusa. Okay, all of that was answer number three. Now we move on to the final answer. V'yibay yiseima, again the stira between, on the one hand, Shammai and Hillel both being moda, that the taros harishonos that were in this kupa that you now found a sheretz in are tameos, versus Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkia, who argue whether the taros harishonos are tameos, and Chizkia actually comes out that they're tahoros. So says Gemara, V'yibay yiseima, ki modu Shammai v'Hillel bizavis kupa. Ki pligi chizkiv Rabbi Yochanan bizavis bayis. Rabbi Shammai and Hillel are moda that everything's tameh when you find a sheretz in the same box, in a different corner of the box. Chizkiv and Rabbi Yochanan disagree. Where Chizkiv might say tahoros, where Chizkiv will say tahoros is bizavis bayis. Where you find where you find it in a different corner of the house. So, frankly, Gemara, but Valkupa Kamar. How can you just say you find the sheretz in a different corner of the house? It says Kupa. So, how can you say it's a different corner of the house? Hachi Kamar. Kupa Shinishamshu Bataros Bezavis Bayis Zu Viltiltilu Bezavis Acheres. Now, the point is, you use this box in one corner of the house, then you moved it to another corner of the house. Vinimsa Sheretz Bezavis Acheres. You first saw the sheretz when it was in the second corner. So, when it was in, let's say, the northeast corner of your house, you had Taros in that box. Then you took the Taros out, you moved the box to the southwest corner of your house, and now all of a sudden, while in the southwest corner, you see that it has a sheretz in there. Do you assume that the sheretz was there at the same time as the taros? So chizkiya savar lo mechaskinan tuma mimakom lemakom. We don't transfer a cheskas tuma from one location to another location. So just because tuma's muchsak in this corner right now, because right now there's a sheretz in the southwest corner of the house in this box, that we're not going to be machsik that tuma was there in the northeast corner also. We're not machsik tuma mimakom lemakom. Rabbi Yochanan savar mechaskinan, and Rabbi Yochanan say we will be machsik tuma. The Ritva writes that Behechruch, you have to say that it's talking about where you find it not only in a different corner of the house, but also a different corner of the kupa, meaning it's on the other side of the kupa. Because if you find it in the same corner of the kupa, so then Kuli Alma, it should be Tahoros, even if you weren't metaltalit. Why? Because when you emptied out the Taros, if that Sheretz was there, you would have found it. The whole point is, the Sheretz must be on a different side of the kupa, otherwise, and that's why there's an explanation as to why you didn't find that Sheretz, even if it was there the entire time, because you weren't looking at that side of the kupa. So you have to say that it's not only a situation where the Sheretz is on a different side of the kupa, but the Gemara is saying, also, that it's in a different part of the house as well. But we're not changing that part, that it's got to be on a different part of the kupa. There is a machlokas achronim, what the gedder of this din of ein machzikin mi makom lemakom, that apparently Chizkia holds that we're not machzik tuma mi makom lemakom. What is the gedder of this din? So the makar chayim in Tav Samach Zayin in Or Chayim says that it's only by a safek haba me'alma, like a sheretz. But when the safek is in the guf hadavar, like a barrel that safek yayin safek chometz, then we are machzik mi makom lemakom, because meaning if the tuma came from the surrounding area, from outside, so maybe the shrutzim, maybe the southwest corner of my house is infested with shrutzim, and not the northeast corner of my house. So it makes sense to say, I'm not going to be machzik tumah mimakom lemakom. But if it's about something that happens, mineu bei, something that happens in the item itself, it's a change that occurs in the item, so why wouldn't I be machzik tumah mimakom lemakom? What does the location have to do with it? The item is changing from wine to vinegar, and it changes wherever it might be. So it's got nothing to do with location. That's how the Makor Chaim suggests. The Shari Yosha says that ein machzikim makom makom is only when the suffix is about maga acherim, when something else touched it. When the suffix is about the guf adavar, so it's not shayach chiluk makamos. And isha is considered makom mitziyasa since we're being done on the guf haisha. Meaning, let's take it back to the case of a woman. Women move around all the time, so we should say ein machzikim tumi makom lamakom. She found the tumi here, so you're going to tell me she was tumi when she was 10 steps away, or when she was in her neighbor's house, when she was. So I machaskin tum makom makom. No, it's the isha is the makom. That's not considered. Anything that comes migufa is considered the same makom. Okay. So anyway, frankly, Gemara. So we say, want to say Rabbi Yochanan holds we are machzik tum makom makom. So mi machaskinan, is that really true? Vatnan naga be'echad belay levein yodeim chayim meis ulmachar hishku matzum meis. Let's say you go into your room late at night and your roommate is there and you step over him or whatever, or let's say you're camping or something. Let's not make it a room, because then we're going to have to deal with ohel. You're camping, you're outside in the, under the stars, and you touch a person who appears to be sleeping in the middle of the night, and then in the morning when it's time to wake up, he doesn't wake up. He's dead. So do you assume that at the time that you touched in the middle of the night, he was already dead? Or do you assume that he was alive and therefore you are tahar? So Meir Matar V'cham Matam. Meir says you're tahar. The guy had a cheskas chai. The guy was alive. And you could assume that he just died at the last moment. And the Chamim say, no, you're tamei. Shekala tameos kshas mitziyasan. Because all tumas are the way you found them. And you found this guy dead. And therefore you have the right to assume that last night when you touched him, he was dead also. Betani Allah kshas mitziyasan. Not only at the time that you found him, but it's also only if it's in the same place that you found him. If you found him somewhere else, then you would not assume that he has the same tumah status. So what do you see? That we're not machzik tumah makom lemakom. So how could Rabbi Yochanan tell me that we are machzik tumah makom lemakom? No, maybe when we say that we're not machzik tumah makom lemakom, just means that we're not going to treat it like tumas vadai, but at least like tumas Suffolk, we will treat it. So mitalina, do we treat it like tuma suffolk? Vatanan, we have another Mishnah. Machat, let's say you had a needle that you know was previously tame. Shinim tzeis malei chaludo shvura, but now you find it in an unusable state. It's full of rust, or it's broken, and therefore it's no longer a kli, and therefore it's tahar. So tahara, that needle is tahar. Shakala tmeos, kshas mitziyasan. And anything that needle was touching now, you could assume was, or that if you touched that needle previously, and you weren't sure about its status when you touched it previously, so you have the right to assume that it's tar, because all the tomatoes are kshas mitziyasan, and the way you found it right now is in a tar state. Vamai, why should you assume it's tar? Lemahame yikara machan mal yisahi vahashtuhu dehele chaluda. Shouldn't you assume that originally it was a good machat, and now it turned rusty, so why do we assume that it's tar? So this is the kasha on the idea of tumma mimakom lumakom, even though the machat has nothing to do with makom. Right, if you look at Rashi, the fourth to last skinny line, he says, Alma kala tumos kishas mitziyasan mechaskinu lehu. What we're trying to point out from this case of machat is that all tumos are as you find them. You have the right to assume they were as they are right now. Vafilu tliya leka. And we don't even say that it's a suffik tuma. We say that if it's tahar now, you have the right to assume that it was tahar. Diktani tahora. Vekasai, here's the key. Vekasal kadaitach, the Gemara is making making the assumption that just like we're saying kishas mitziyasan, we would say the same thing about makom mitziyasan. That we are machzikit betuma only in this place, and we don't have a suffix. We don't even have a suffix tuma to another place. If it was in another place previously, it doesn't mean anything to us. V'kasha Rabbi Yochanan, this is a kasha Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that we are machzik tuma mi makom lemakom. Obviously, it's not the strongest kasha because this isn't about makom at all. It's about kishas mitziyasan. But okay. Va'otnan of another weak kasha matzah sheret saruf al gabe azesim. Let's say you find a burnt sheret on top of olives. So it used to be tamei the sheret, but not the way it is now. V'chein matlus hamuhumam, or you find a piece of cloth that's completely worn out. So again, maybe it used to be tamei, but is no longer tamei. So tahar shakal tameos kshas mitziyasan. You have the right to assume that whatever it's on is tahar, because you can assume the way it is right now is the way it was, and right now it's tahar. So previously it was Torah as well. And just like, again, Rashi is going to say, just like we assume that the way it is right now is the way it was, you also, and we're not machzik tuma l'mafreya, so too, you have the right to assume that the way, that mechaskin l'mimakom l'makom, that it's only in this place, but tuma would not be huchzak to a different place. So that's all akash on Rabbi Yochanan. V'chite mekshas mitziyasan bein l'kula bein l'chumra, ubi makom mitziyasan, aval shalob makom mitziyasan misraf lo sarafrinan amitla talinan. No, maybe kishas mitziyasan would go bein l'kula bein l'chumra if it's in the same place. But when it's shalob makom mitziyasan, maybe, meaning we're saying the chiluk, the obvious chiluk, maybe the, all of these rayas are only about shas mitziyasan. When it comes to makom mitziyasan, maybe we're not going to say vaday tamei, we're going to say that it's safek. So vahatnan kikar agabe hadaf. Let's say you have a loaf of bread on top of a shelf, and underneath that shelf, umadav tamei munach tachtav, you have a cloth, a blanket of some sort, underneath that shelf, a tamei blanket. What kind of tuma? A tuma kala, Rashi says. We're not talking about a medras hazav, which would be an avatuma. Let's say it's an elyono shel zav. It's something that the zav used not to sit on, but as a cover. So you have something, a tamei blanket underneath. So if anything falls off that shelf, it's going to land on that blanket. So afal pishim nafla e efshar elim ke naga, even though if the thing falls off, there's no way that it could fall off without first touching that blanket. So it's impossible. Afal pishim nafla efshar elim ke naga tahora. Still, you have the right to assume that when you find that loaf of bread next to the blanket on the floor, that it's tahor. You have the right to assume that the bread somehow came off that shelf and didn't touch the blanket, because right now it's somewhere beyond where the blanket is. Now, there's no way it could fall off and end up beyond where the blanket is without touching the blanket first. Still, you have the right to assume it's tar. How? Magic. No, shani yomer adam tar nichnas l'sham v'natla ad sheyomer bari lishlon nichnas adam sham. You have the right to assume a tar person came, took it off the shelf, and placed it down beyond the area where the blanket is, so it never fell off and it never touched the blanket. Unless you know for sure that you had the only key to the room and it was locked, or you were watching the room the whole time and no one ever walked in there. And only if you know bari that no one ever walked in there, only then can you assume that it's tameh. But otherwise, you have the right to assume it's tar. V'amar Rav Elazar lo nitzrucha el l'makom madron. And Rav Elazar says that we're talking about a case where it could have fallen off because it was a madron, it was on a slant. What was on a slant? Rashi says afal pi shadaf sha kikar aleha makom madron. The shelf that the kikar was on was slanted. V'ruya kikar lipol, and therefore the kikar was in a precarious position to begin with. So to make an assumption that the way it got off was that a person came and took it off is somewhat questionable, considering that it was in a spot where it could have fallen by itself. And if it would have fallen, it definitely would have touched the beged. Still tahara, because you have the right to assume a person came and took it. So what's the raya? Alma, says Rashi, lo mechaskin mitomim makom makom. Dinim me'al adaf nafal v'niskal galakan. Apparently we're not machzik tuma mimakom l'makom. So this is a raya against Rabbi Yochanan, that we're not machzik tuma even when it comes to location, not just kishas mitziyasin, even mimakom l'makom. Tosfos, interestingly, says we're not talking about that the shelf was slanted, we're talking about that the cloth on the bottom was slanted, and therefore it's possible that the loaf of bread fell onto the cloth and just easily rolled right off of it. So just because you don't find the loaf of bread on the cloth is not a raya that it didn't touch the cloth. It likely touched the cloth and rolled right off of it. Unclear why he doesn't want to say like Rashi, but that's how Tos says. So this is the kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Says Gemara, no, hasam kedetani taima shani omer adam tor nipnas l'sham v'natla. So no, it's very different over there. Over there, there's a logical explanation of how it got there without ever becoming tamei. You could just say that the person came in, took the bread off the shelf, and put it down next to the blanket. So it's very easy to explain how it got there without becoming tamei. Says Gemara Hachanami, by the case of our box as well, Nema Ore Vasa Vashada, there's a very logical explanation to say how the sheretz got there without becoming tamei. Maybe an Orev came and dropped it in there after you were metalta the kupa from to a different location, and the kupa was not did not have anything tamei in there when it was in its original location. So why is Rabbi Yochanan being so strict and assuming that the kupa had the tamei stuff in there in its original location? Now Adam de bekavana amrinan, or if the shelo bekavana lo amrinan. People who act willfully, so that's something that we could assume happened, that a person saw the precarious position that this loaf of bread was in, so he wanted to save it, so he went and he put it next to the cloth where it's not going to become tamei. But a kupa, to dafka assume that as soon as you move from one corner of your house to another corner of your house, that's when an orif came and dropped something in the kupa, so that's something that we're not going to make such an assumption. The Rishonim ask a kasha. Why is it we say over here Rameir in Matar and the Chum Ramatame? Because everything is Kishas Mitzyasan, right? You assume everything is Kishas Mitzyasan. So Rishonim ask, what's the chilk between a Nida where we're not Matame Hilam Afreya Meikra Din, as opposed to Nagach Belaila, meaning the case where you touch the dead guy and you touch him in the middle of the night and you weren't sure if he was dead, where the Chum say we are Matame Lamafreya because Kishas Mitzyasa, why is that any different than Nida, that we're not Matame her Lamafreya? So Tosma Tarets that Naga Echad Belaila and the Din of Kupa and Asara Delayim, we're talking about Kadshim. So it's Doma Lenida, where the Rabbanon or Machim have to be Matame her Lamafreya Legabe Kadshim, meaning by Nida we are Matame Lamafreya in regards to Kadshim. So since this is talking about kachim, so then it would actually line up very nicely with the case of Nida. Okay, the Ramban is a different, the Ramban says, no, a woman is different because she's Becheskes Taro Medes, because she's Beduka. Even though it's Matzu Badam, so it is considered a Chazaka Asuyu L'shtanos, but still, it's a Chazaka. She does have a Cheskes Tahara on some level. Okay, so different Terutzim in the Rishonim. Says Gemara Vaitin, Michti, Haikik or Savik Tumah B'Rishos HaYachidu, Mekal Savik Tumah B'Rishos HaYachid Sveik HaTamei. This loaf of bread that was on the shelf and now you find next to the blanket, shouldn't this just be a classic example, Savik Tum Rosh Hashiachid? And the halach is Savik Tum Rosh Hashiachid is Tamei. So what are we even getting involved? Assuming that someone touched it, someone, we don't know. We don't know what happened. So since we don't know what happened, assume Tamei. So what kind of a whole case is this? Says the Gemara, no, there's another rule over here. Mishum David Davar Shein Vodasli Sha'el. No, because the loaf of bread is not something you can ask what happened to. So anything that doesn't have das to ask about, called Davar Shein Vodasli Sha'el, Beim Rishos Ram, Beim Rishos Yachid, Sveiko Tahar. The rule is, even though normally Savitam Rosh Hashiachid is Tamei, that's only when it's Yesh Vodasli Sha'el, when there's someone to ask about what happened. But when the item that became Tamei is not something that you can ask, it's not a person, so then it's considered to be a Sveiko Tahar, even in a Rosh Hashiachid. Viba Yisema, Hacha B'Tumid Rabbanan, or you can say, no, over here we're dealing with Tumid Rabbanan, so we're going to be more Mekel, even in Rosh Hashiachid. Dekanami Dektani Madav Kedukhsev Ale Nadav. Madav implies a Tumakala, so previously we were assuming Tumakala meant Elyon Rosh Hazav. No, now we're assuming Tumakala means that a Tumid Rabbanan. That's what we're talking about. The Ritva just wonders, what was the Havamina for the Gemara to ask? The Gemara asked Akasha, Ah, Savi Tumid Rosh Hashiachid Tamei. What do you mean? Ein Vodas Lishal, it's such a big rule in Hilchos Tumav Tara. So he says, Muchach Mikan, that this was not a clear din that everybody knew about, of Ein Vodas Lishal being Sveiko Tahar B'Rishos HaYachid. It must have been that it wasn't such a well-known din. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, two dots now. V'chamram loka d'rizev, loka d'rizev. So remember, we had a machlokas Tanayim, we had a machlokas Shammai and Hillel. Are we machzik tuma l'mafreya? A woman finds dam. So Shammai said, daya shaita. She's only tamei mikanu laba. Hillel said, no, mifkida l'fkida. Go back to the last time she checked, and that's when she's going to be tamei from. The Chachamim said, lo k'divrizeh v'lo k'divrizeh. We're not going to be quite as mekel Shammai, nor quite as machmir as Hillel. We'll go back to the last bedika, unless the last bedika was more than 24 hours ago. We only go back 24 hours, and no more. So says Maratan, Rabban Chachamim, lo k'divrizeh v'lo k'divrizeh, lo k'divrizeh Shammai shlo'os. Not like Shammai, who made no din d'rabbanan, he made no additional chumrah, v'loka d'vrei Hillel she'hifrei samdi delsev, nor like Hillel, who is way too machmir, ela meiseis, metas al yad mefkidu v'kidu, mefkidu v'kidu, metas al yad meiseis. Whichever happened more recently, a bedika, or 24 hours, that's what we go back to. Meiseis, metas al yad mefkidu v'kidu, ketzad, how is it that meiseis is going to be a lesser time than the last bedika? Simple, but katz mebecha b'shabbos, the last bedika she did was Sunday, umatzis taran, she was tar at that point, v'yashra sheni v'shlishi v'lo batka l'rvi batka matzah tamei, and she didn't check herself again until Wednesday, and she found that she had blood on Wednesday. So you know titame mipkida l'fkida el meislei. So we're not mitame. Hillel would say so. She's tamei all the way back from Sunday, and everything she touched since Sunday is tamei. Chacham say no. Since Tuesday, same time Tuesday, you go back 24 hours. How do you have mifkid ulfkida being the lesser amount of time? But gatzam b'shar rishona umatz tara. This morning she checked herself first hour of the day, she was fine. V'yashal shniyah v'shlishes v'lo batka, and then second, third hour of the day she did not check herself. For revius batka, fourth hour of the day she checked herself. Umatz tamea. Now she finds blood. Einon titam meislei. So we're not going to say let the tumah go back 24 hours. El mifkida l'fkida. You let the tumah go back to the first hour of the day when she last did a bedika. So pshita, even the batka from b'shar rishona matz tara lo mitaminu la meislei. Isn't that second case obvious? You know for sure she checked herself this morning, and there was no dam there. Why would I assume that you go back 24 hours in the tumah? She checked herself. I did tana meisays matzayim mifkidu fkidu tana mifkidu fkidu matzayim meisays. Yeah, in a chinami. But the first halacha is not as obvious. So once we mention the less obvious halacha, we mention the more obvious halacha as well. Amar Rabba, my time I had the Rabbanan. We spent a lot of time explaining the Shita of Shammai. What's the reason for the Rabbanan? What is this Shir of Me'es La'es? Mifkida L'fkida makes sense. That was the last time we knew that she was Tahar. Dayashaita makes sense. This is the first time she knows for sure that she's Tameh. Where does 24 hours come from? So the Gemara is going to give two possibilities. Number one, Isha Margeshas Biatzma. A woman would normally have Argasha. If it was true that the second she removed her hand from her last Bedika, she saw Dam, she would have been Margish. She would have had Hargasha. Amalei Abayim came to Dayashaita. So then why don't you assume Dayashaita like Shammai? Where do you get 24 hours? So Rabbi Luchludil Abayim Dubai. Yeah, it wasn't a real answer. That wasn't the real svar for the Rabbanu. He was just trying to see if Abayim would ask the right kashas. Elamaitamayad Rabbanu. What's the real reason for the Rabbanu? The second possibility. Ki yadam Rav Yudam Shmuel. Chacham tiknul and lebenos sol shi bodkos atzman shachas varvis. Chacham made a takana that women are supposed to check themselves twice a day, every day. We're not talking about nowadays where we're only checking to make sure she's Tara Labaila. Talking about when dealing with Tumas and Taros, so all month she would have to check herself twice a day, every day, to make sure that whatever Taros she's dealing with are not Tameh. Shachas Akshir Taros Shalayla, Varvas Akshir Taros Shalyom. Each one to be Makshir the Taros since the last Bedika. Vizu Halvalo Batki if Sida Onan. Because this woman failed to do Bedika, she loses out on one full Ona, on a full 12-hour period. My Ona, Ona Yaseira. She loses out on an extra Ona. Amalir Papa Larava. So that's how you get 24 hours. Amalir Papa Larava, Vazim Mishkachsa, Gimel Onos, Meisleis. 24 hours often covers three Onos, because if a woman checks herself now at 7 o'clock in the morning, so today daytime is one Ona, yesterday nighttime is another Ona, yesterday daytime is a third Ona. So it says, Mar Hishukha Midasein, Shlotachlov Meisleis. Now we make it across the board a 24 hour thing. Iba Yisema Shloye Chote Niskar. Or we dafka want to make it that a woman shouldn't benefit by waiting a little extra. If we just make it two Onos, so that she's going to, if she did a Bedika right at sunrise, she'll lose 24 hours. But if she does a bedika 3 hours later, she'll only lose that daytime and the previous nighttime, which will be less than 24 hours. We don't want that to happen. May benayu, lemay nafkamina between these two answers. Iku benayu nisa v'lo batka. Let's say it was an onus that she was unable to check herself. So if you say v'lashon chote niskar, well, she's not a chote, it was an onus. But according to the lashon shalot chalik, that we just want to make it a single rule across the board. So whether it was an onus or not, we want to make it a single rule across the board that it's 24 hours. Okay, Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up from the two deaths.